Welcome to the debut episode of Throwback, your one stop for exclusive interviews, reviews, and rants about everything 90s. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan R. If you like what you hear today, check us out on Twitter at ThrowPodcast or check us out on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback. Now, here's our exclusive interview with All That alumnus, Elisa Reyes.
You are listening to the Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a Throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is best known for her role as one of the original cast members on the 90s hit Nickelodeon TV show All That, and was also the voice of Lucy Aniga on the Disney hit TV show The Proud Family. I'm pleased to introduce Elisa Reyes. Elisa, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be on the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Okay, first question off. How did you break into entertainment business? Like, what were your inspirations for breaking in?
Yeah, well, I started acting when I was 8 years old. It's something that I always was really passionate about. I really actually wanted to start at like the age of 3, but I think as I got a little older, I had a little bit more of a voice, and I was able to convince my mom and say, please, please let me audition, let me be on TV. So, you know, we did something as simple as just taking photos of me, sending it out to a couple of agencies and crossing her toes and fingers and hoping that someone would, you know, respond. And lo and behold, I got contacted by an agent in Manhattan, New York, by the name of Tracy's Kids. Shout out to Tracy. And she was one of my first agents. And basically, one of the first jobs I went out for, I ended up booking by the grace of God. It was a Honey Nut Cheerios national commercial, which then allowed me to join the Screen Actors Guild around in 1990. So I've been acting since I was 8, doing TV and film and voiceovers and modeling and hosting and writing and producing. So
this has
been my life. Yeah, it's been my life, but I love it. God is good, and I've been enjoying it for sure.
How was the whole process? Like, how did you audition for the show All That? Like, how were you first contacted about it?
Well, at the time, I had a manager by the name of Marilyn Zittner that was my manager in New York City, and I had gotten a call from her saying, all right, you have a really big audition. You know, they're doing a nationwide search where they're auditioning, looking for, you know, young teens, all different ethnic diverse backgrounds that have a background in comedy, and they would want you to prepare kind of like a monologue, and then possibly they'll throw maybe an audition scene, but you have to kind of, you know, improvise. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I had a lot of training under my belt, but I was only around the age of 12 or 13. And a lot of my other co-stars, such as like Kenan Thompson, Cal Mitchell, Josh Shurver, you know, they have a lot of experience in stand-up comedy. So for me, I was told that comedy was like the hardest thing for any actor to get involved in. So to be able to do it at such a young age was an honor. And, you know, lo and behold, my mom and I put together a really fun monologue where I talked about like my sister having really long hair, and it was coming from her beard coming out of her armpit hair for pancakes. The hair from her armpits would go into her food. You know, whatever, like, quirky and funny. And then I thought of a couple of other fun ideas. But yeah, when I auditioned for All That, you know, I got a chance to do this monologue that I wrote. They really liked it. And then I got a call back, and then I ended up having to go back literally 7 times.
7 times?
All That. I've never,
really,
my whole acting career of over 20-some years being in this business, had to ever audition for something that many times.
Well, how did that happen?
I think what had transpired was, is, you know, I was the only one from New York. Everybody else was coming from, like, Atlanta, Chicago, California, and so one of the last actors attached was Kenan Thompson, and then I was attached. I think, you know, they were really trying to create what they felt was going to be the best cast ensemble for this variety scripted show that really at the time didn't even really have a name, a high school and a high school class, and they were the students in the high school class.
Right.
And they later then had a really good relationship as friends, and they decided to go into business together and create a scripted variety show for kids. So All That was a lot like the Mickey Mouse Club, but we didn't sing in bands. We instead focused on having current trending artists of that time coming into the show to perform, very similar to the concept of Saturday Night Live, but that was for adults. So there was nothing on TV like us. I mean, later on in the years, they had Mad TV and Living Color, but that was way later. So, I mean,
and that was for a younger generation. That's for an older generation too. Those shows.
Yeah, I just think, you know, for kids, this is very different and unique, and especially to be a part of the SNCC, the Saturday Night Nickelodeon lineup, you know, with like Are You Afraid of the Dark and Salute Your Shorts and Pete and Pete and Alex Mack and all these other great shows, Shelby Woo and You to You, and you know, I mean, it was a ball. I mean, I really feel like TV has changed immensely, and it's not like it used to be. The 90s were very iconic, and it's nostalgic right now, and it's amazing the loyalty that the fans have shown all these years, you know, and it's because of the fans that shows like All That stay alive the way they are up into this present moment. I always kind of considered myself the Goldie Hawn from the show Laughing that was on in the, I think, 70s or 60s.
Yeah.
I always played the fun characters, and, you know, certain actors on my show All That, we all play specific type of characters, and that's what made us all unique. You know, we all just were able to strategically fit in, and everything just made sense, and it worked. Working with everyone, it was like one big family. I mean, we were constantly having fun. We shot the show in Orlando at Universal Studios. So, I mean, literally Universal Studios was our playground. So on our lunch break, we would sneak out and go on a couple of rides, and it was pretty euphoric and pretty badass. I mean, as a kid, to be able to say, like, hey, for lunch, I'm going to go hang out in Universal Studios is pretty surreal. So, I mean, there's no way that I have any regrets, no way, shape, or form whatsoever.
Which brings me to my next question. How was it like working at Nickelodeon Studios? Like you said, you had Universal Studios in your backyard, but Nickelodeon Studios was such a legendary place for kids. How did you like it?
You know, at the time, it was really in its prime. I know it's really no longer, or if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's been renovated, but I know there was a petition going on for a while that all of us were really active about wanting to cross-promote because it was iconic and it was a part of my childhood. I remember when we filmed All That, you know, we filmed All That in front of a live studio audience. So we would rehearse during the week, and then towards the end of the weekend, we would record a couple of scenes, and then we would shoot a good chunk of it in front of the audience, especially to get that laughter, you know, audio for us for the background of scenes and whatnot. But during the time when we would get prepared for the show with hair and makeup and being in and out of wardrobes and costumes and prosthetic makeup, there would be a tour going through the makeup area to where it was like a plexiglass, and so they could see us and I could see them, and we can wave, and you know, we could wave at each other, and they could see us going through, you know, and the guy would be like, and this is the show All That on Nickelodeon, and here are the cast members. Wave, hi Lisa, and we wave, and you know, they're getting ready to perform in front of their studio audience. It's a new show. So it was really cool. And then after the show, we would try to sign close to everyone's autograph. We didn't do that once we moved to Paramount Studios in California. When the show got really successful after the first year we moved, you know, to California.
After the first season, you guys moved to California?
Yeah, after the
season. Wow, I didn't know that.
Too, we were, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was, you know, it might have been the third. It might have been the third season.
Okay.
And not the second. When we were in Orlando is when we would always, like, meet the audience afterwards. But once we came out here to California, for some reason, we didn't get a chance to, like, physically meet the audience, but we would get a chance to, like, still go and say hi to them. So I do miss, like, kind of that organic, because we were new, they were really hands-on with us, with fans, and then, you know, as the show got a little more successful, they had to be a little bit more weary about who we met and stuff, because, you know, we were kids, they had to protect us, but at the end of the day, like, Orlando was home and family, and you know what I mean, and now California is my home, you know, and Paramount Studios was amazing to work at, too. We shot at the old, Dr. Phil studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was cool to share that studio. Yeah.
Nice. I know we touched on this already, but how was it like working with the cast at the beginning of the series compared to when you left? Like,
I, nothing really. You know, ill will that ever happened between us. I mean, we were like typical kids and teenagers, like brothers and sisters. We had our moments, you know, we're tired, we're hangry, because when I'm hungry, I get angry. You know what I mean? Or, you know, our social life was maybe a bit different than the average kid's social life, but at the end of the day, there was nothing different that we did. We all studied, we all did school. Our priorities were just the same priorities as everybody else, except we just happened to have careers while being a kid and while going to school. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I think that's the case for most children actors. Like, they, it's pretty much the same life as a kid. They just have, like, more stuff on their plate.
Yeah, we just have more stuff on our plate. And to be honest with you, like, all this was my doing. I wanted to do it. I told my parents this is what I wanted. You know, I was never forced into this business. It was all me. And I think for me, to know that and to be able to, like, have a family that's been so supportive has been a blessing. You know, I've been abundant with the love. And that's the most important thing, is that I always try to tell people that I meet, fans that I've met, even just friends and family, clients that I coach, is that, like, a support system is very imperative no matter what you do in life. You know, as long as you have that positive support system, then the sky's the limit for yourself.
Exactly.
But yeah, and as far as my ensemble, I left after 3 years of all that. It was my choice to leave. They wanted to renew my contract, but I had got offered to go then be on a show called One World on Teen NBC, which was on NBC.
Yeah.
And I then moved on to being a series regular on that show that was a part of the Saved by the Bell, the New Class, City Guys, Hang Time lineup. On Saturday morning. So I basically went from, like, a kid show to more of a teenager show. And I felt like it was time for me as Elisa Reyes, the actor, the thespian, you know, to really start doing things that I knew that I really wanted to do. You know, I love time period piece work. I love doing voiceover animated work. I love hosting. I love writing. I love producing. I love being in front of the camera. I love being behind the camera. I sing. I dance. So I didn't want to feel pigeonholed, and I really felt compelled to start expanding my craft. And when I got offered to be on another show, I couldn't pass the deal. I mean, Josh Server stayed on the show for like 6 years.
Wow.
A lot of people stayed on all that, and then a lot of people also left. I stayed longer than the girls, and then, well, actually, let me take that back. Angelique left first, then Katrina, then me, and then Lori Beth was the last to leave. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not like when I was done all that, I moved on and stayed consecutively working throughout my career, and that's what's been a blessing. I mean, every year I'm always doing a couple of new projects. And as long as I'm doing what I love, then my soul is fed and I'm happy. So when it came to leaving all that, it was a hard choice, but I felt that it was the best choice. And it also allowed me to stay in California. I had the opportunity to stay in California while doing this new show, so it was an easy move for me, and it then just opened a lot of other doors. I was on that show for 3 years, and I won a Hollywood Reporter Award for Best Actress for being on that show, playing the role of Marcy Blake, because One World was about adopted brothers and sisters, so I went on to another diverse show, which was great. And it was just a scripted storyline compared to, rather than, you know, doing comedic skits. So I was now moving on to doing more of a scripted sitcom type of a show, kind of like Full House.
Wow.
You know, that's the easiest thing I can compare it to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like you said, you were on all that for 3 years. Like, do you have any, like, any funny on set or behind the scenes stories with the cast members? Like, anything, like, you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always had funny, crazy things happen where we had a skit called Scholastic Snacks, and it was about, like, edible notebooks and rulers and backpacks, and the plot people made all of these things that looked like actual, like, protractors and rulers. They looked real, but they were made out of, like, Jolly Rancher candy, and
wow. They
used to get so mad at us because I would just lick it and eat it and be like, sorry, you can't put candy in front of me and not expect me to eat it. I'm, like, 14 years old. What do you want me to do? So things like that, or we had a skit where it was all about milk, and we literally had to spit milk on each other. So now I'm, like, literally, you know, traumatized, you know, with milk. And I won't ever share milk with my husband. I have this weird thing with milk. No,
really?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I won't share my milk. No, I'm teasing. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, maybe, you know, we all we had Chris Farley, God rest his soul, perform on our show as a guest star. And when he came on for the Randy and Mandy skit where it was all about chocolate, it was a mess. I mean, he just totally crashed the set.
Oh, I remember that skit, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember in that skit, like I was doing something with Keenan because he played Randy and he was interviewing me to be his possible co-host when I was, I think, Sandy or something. And I only liked a little bit of chocolate, but he liked a lot of chocolate. And I'm like, just a scallop of chocolate, you know? And he's like mad at me because I don't want a lot of chocolate. I just want it to be minimal. And so I remember he had to like push my head into a big chocolate cake. And when he did that, you know, for some odd reason, it went up my nose. Something happened, and this was in front of a live studio audience. And I like completely went blank. I forgot my lines. I had to like go in the back and meditate and namaste for a moment. And then I composed myself. I mean, listen, I'm a typical kid. We're human beings, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So real life things happen, but we always got through it and we always laughed through it. And the funniest thing on top of everything was, the minute one of us had the giggles in a scene, it was over. It would take a good 10 minutes to get us like, okay, guys, come on, you know, like back on track because, oh, God, if Steven started laughing and you look at him, you're gonna tinkle your pants, literally.
Yeah, I especially noticed that when he was at PRS Targaryen, you know, that French guy in the tub, he would say all this stuff. I noticed that a lot. So you said Chris Farley was a guest star on all that.
Yeah.
Do you have a personal favorite guest star or musical guest that was on there?
I would say, well, he was probably one of my favorite comedians that came on. I would say as far as musical guests, TLC, I mean, God Rest Left Eye Soul, but they sing the original theme song of all that, so they're pretty iconic for me, and I'll never forget meeting them. I mean, I did a skit with them, with Keenan and them and me, called Leap Froggy Frog, and I was the host of, like, All That Rap. I was like, Angie B from All That Rap, and I was interviewing Keenan, who was dressed like a frog.
Yeah.
And the girls came out, and they'd be like, Leap Froggy Froggy. They'll come out, and they would start singing. And I remember Les and I have, like, all these little cute little orange things in her hair, and she had given me one, and I just saved it, and it's in my storage unit somewhere, and I'll just never forget it because those girls were thebomb.com. I love TLC, and they really gave all that its musical beat, if that makes any sense.
Well, they're legendary. TLC is legendary. So.
But our theme song is so catchy because of them. Even my Proud Family cartoon, Beyonce and her sister are singing the Proud Family theme song. I mean, when you have some of these iconic, amazing artists singing a theme song, you're never going to forget that hook in your head. You know what I mean? When we shot the pilot of the show, because I shot the pilot and then I did 3 seasons. So the pilot, when a show gets, before it gets picked up, it has to shoot one pilot, meaning one episode, and that's what the network watches and sees if they think it's funny. If they like it, then they'll, you know, they'll air it maybe for 8 episodes or whatever. And based off the ratings, you know, will be if the show keeps being able to air. And because the show did so good, probably the first time it aired, that, you know, they let us have like 26 episodes, you know what I mean, for the first season.
Wow.
So we were working a lot. I was working for like half of my year, you know what I mean, doing all that. And then I would be on hiatus for a little bit. And I would go back home and catch up with my schoolwork. But I went to the type of school that was equipped for actors. So I, you know, would have my material sent to me and stuff like that. So, because when you're a child actor, you know, you're constantly being tutored and stuff. So education was very important to me, and the organization of it was very important to me. And our parents always made sure that our education was great. I remember, like, I still to this day still talk to my tutor.
Oh, really?
That was our tutor from All That. Yeah, his name is Chuck Yerger. Shout out to Chuck Yerger. He had a magic briefcase that had like protractors and calculators and candy and stuff. It was great. And he was also the tutor for the Mickey Mouse Club. Mickey Mouse Club.
Nice.
Yeah, for like Britney and all of them. So, I mean, because Mickey Mouse Club shot there as well in Florida. So, you know, All That and the MMC, we were holding it down in Orlando, keeping it OG, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
keeping it real.
So you're also on the Proud Family as the voice of Litsianaga. Like, how was that experience, like voice acting? How did that pronounce it? Yeah.
La Quinta. It's another street here, yeah, after a street here in California. But, yeah, after I did One World, and I moved on to doing TV and film, and so I was on Passions for a while. I played Cindy Valentine, that was a recording artist, because I also sing, so... Now you can actually buy my track called Sexy Hot on iTunes, TuneCore, Amazon, Google Play.
Oh, yeah, the Tune on. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, just check out my website, Alisa, A-L-I-S-A, Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S.com, to check out the latest info on me, you know, and make sure to hit up also like my social media on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook fan page, and Snapchat, and even Periscope, and Who Say. It's just at Alisa Reyes and verified, so, you know, as long as you see the one with the check mark, that's me.
Yeah.
Everything comes on. I will always try to comment back to people. As long as y'all come from a place of love and light, we are all good. After all that, like, I went on doing to, like, ER, NYPD Blue, 6 Feet Under, Without a Trace. And so when it came to voiceover work, I happened to just go out on an audition. And it was one of my first big voiceover gigs that I actually got. And then once I got The Proud Family, it opened up so many other doors to where I have a cartoon right now on Netflix called The Jammies. I play Momo. It's about tweens that sing and dance at a performing arts school. So definitely check us out. And, you know, I've done campaign ads for, I was the voice of Crystal Light for a while. Wow. You know what I mean? I do a lot. I've had my own radio show on Sirius Radio before. So, I mean, you know, I've had my own radio show on Playboy U as well. So, I mean, I definitely, once you do one thing, of course it opens up the door. It's like a domino effect. You know what I mean? You just got to keep that momentum going.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Like, how was the experience on The Proud Family compared to all that? Like, did you prefer the live audience atmosphere to, like, the voice acting part?
Well, no, I love both, but it's completely different. Voiceover, you can go in your pajamas, not that I would go in my pajamas, and you sit in a recording booth. Sometimes you don't even speak with other people, and you are just literally by yourself, you know, talking.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, of course I would prefer interacting with other people because I'm very outgoing, but at the end of the day, you know, work is work, and like I said, as long as I'm doing what I love, it's all good. But, you know, voiceover work to me is awesome. It's a different energy. You do have to give 185% because it's all your voice. So, like, in order for me to give the most out of my voice, I have to physically be doing a lot. But, I mean, that's just part of who I am as an artist, and that's just me using another part of my instrument, which is my vocal cords, you know, and using my throat chakra area. So, yeah, I really genuinely enjoy voiceovers, but I love everything individually, you know, just in its own way.
Right. Going back to all that, do you still find yourself watching old episodes of all of that, like, if it's on TV? Would you just, like if you're surfing the channel, would you, like, stop and watch?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have some episodes on my DVR. I have my grandmother, God rest her soul, used to record every episode on VHS tapes. So I have, like, all these VHS tapes that I can't bear to, like, let go of. I want to, like, invest in, like, converting them to, like, DVD at least, or DVD or whatever, so I can, like, have them just not take so much space in my home. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, of course I ponder back. And, who, like, it's like saying, who doesn't Google himself? But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm human.
Yeah.
I'm serious. And it's nice to visit memory lane.
Yeah, it really does, yeah. Do you still keep in touch with the original cast?
Yeah, actually, I do. I'm currently working on a documentary right now where I'm producing it as well as involved on camera as well. It's called The Orange Years, and it's with Scott and Adam, these amazing guys that basically put together this amazing idea to do this documentary about 80s and 90s nostalgia that has to do predominantly with Nickelodeon. So, you know, they reached out to me and we were able to put our heads together. And so we just got done, you know, I did an interview with myself and Lori, Beth, and Josh, and now they're getting ready to go interview Keenan. And they've been interviewing all these amazing actors. And the plan is in 2018 for us to release it. And hopefully it'll hit some film festivals. But every hardcore Nickelodeon 80s, 90s fan will want to watch The Orange Years. So, make sure to follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, on the Facebook, you know, on social media. at the Orange Years, because it's definitely something you're not going to want to miss. And this is something I'm really excited about and that I can't wait for the fans to see for sure.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like it's must see. Do you guys have any more reunions planned in the future for like any other projects?
I mean, a couple of years ago, you know, some of them got together at Comic-Con. We did some stuff at Kamikaze. You know, the Splat has given a lot of love to re-airing the show because 2 million fans petitioned to get it back on the air years ago. So now the loyalty of the fans is the reason why all that is just trucking. And I can't thank the fans enough. Everyone on social media that I interact with and those that maybe I miss along the way, like, I truly, genuinely thank you. I send you love and light. I am so honored and blessed and humbled to know that you guys love the show. And even other shows that I have been on, people that have been following me actively throughout my career, it's just the outpour of love has just been so abundantly amazing. And I just continue to give back that love and light same way back. But yeah, I mean, I keep in touch with everyone to the best of my ability. I am working on a scripted show with some of my All That croonies and the actor Sinbad, where it's a scripted show that I'm really excited about. So I can't give too much information.
Right.
Let's just say there's some really good people attached to it. We're in the process of getting it going, and when it comes out, everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, we're back, and I just can't wait for everyone to see especially this little secret thing that I've been mustering about for a while.
Oh, yeah.
To share with everyone. I also have another movie that's going to be coming out later this year called Heavenly Deposit. It's a Christian-based film. Mm-hmm. I'm starring in it, and it has a positive message. Check out heavenlydeposit.com so you can find out about how you can see it at a theater near you. There's a teaser up for the movie, like a trailer. And we're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, so please like us and follow us. And like I said, you know, I'm really active on social media. I do 90s trivia Monday through Friday. Give me a shout out, say hi. I'll definitely give you that love and light back so you can stay posted about what's transpiring in my career. And then last but not least, I also coach and teach. So I'm really excited, a teen class on May 1st. If you're located in, you know, Burbank, California, definitely visit AlisaReyes.com or my Instagram page, where I have a flyer going around with detailed information about joining my teen class that are the ages 12 to 16, where I specialize in teen comedy and teen study and character development.
Right.
I also coach privately. So if anyone ever wants to, you know, do a one-on-one session, we could do Skype. We could do, you know, a phone session, so I'm pretty flexible, and I love coaching and teaching just because if any way that I can share my passion and give that back out to the world for someone that has the same interest, you know, by all means. But I also specialize in coaching about like branding and marketing, not just acting. You don't have to contact me about just acting. It could be about any category
right.
in your life, sort of like life coach-esque. I'll be your muse and your guru, if that makes any sense.
I think it does. Before we wrap this interview up, do you have any last words you want to say to your fans?
Yeah, I just definitely want to say, you know, I know right now we're all living in a crazy world, so it's so imperative and vital for us to just continue to be that love and light back out into the world. And like
exactly.
I said, for all of you that have reached out to me, or for those of you that haven't, maybe I haven't responded back. Like, trust me, I try to be very hands-on and try to email everyone back or acknowledge everyone back to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, know that you do have a purpose here on this earth,
mm-hmm.
and that not to worry about tomorrow and not to worry about yesterday. Just be in the present moment. And if you can do that, then the sky's the limit for you. And, you know, for more information about me, like I said, visit AlisaReyes.com, and there you can read my blog, join my monthly newsletter, see my video vlogs that I have, and also check out my YouTube channel, which is the Alisa Reyes channel, where you can get a chance to see my Alisa Reyes sexy hot video. So yeah, that's about it, and I send all of you love and light.
Okay, All That Alumnus, Alisa Reyes, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. It was a blast. Hey, hashtag the throwback.
Special shout out goes out to Alisa Reyes for coming on our debut episode of The Throwback. If you want to hear more from Alisa Reyes, follow her on Twitter at her Twitter name, @AlisaReyes. or check out our website at alisareyes.com.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.